Techonomics on KGO 810. Wall Street has been on a tear since the presidential election. So how will all that extra cash play out in Silicon Valley?
We're going to have a lot of IPOs. We're going to have a lot of M&A. You're going to have this massive amount of monetary velocity, just money sloshing around.
This week, host Jason Middleton speaks with angel investor Jason Calacanis about companies buying companies, Twitter, and the fate of Donald Trump's tweets. Also this week, Jason chats with the chief technology officer under President Obama. Megan Smith digs into design thinking as well as the prevailing trends in and around the world of high tech prior to a keynote speech in San Francisco. All that and a little more on this week's Techonomics, starting now on KGO 810.
You must be raving mad. We're on the air. Look, what's the idea? Come back here.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. My name is Jason Middleton. We start with a far-reaching conversation with a former journalist, an entrepreneur, and a highly successful angel investor here in Silicon Valley and elsewhere. Jason Calacanis is ranked as one of the top five angel investors in the world. That's according to CBinsights.com. When it comes to what is called his investor mosaic, that's his broad knowledge and broad bets on startup companies. He was early in on Evernote and Uber, for example, and he sold his first company, Inside.com, for $30 million. That's pre-bubble. For this segment, Jason and I talk Trump, Twitter, and tactics.
Jason Calacanis, angel investor, CEO of Inside.com.
Twitter handle at Jason, by the way. He got that one well before I had a chance to get at it.
Yep, gotcha.
Jason, thanks for coming back into the studio. The venture capital outlook, we're at the beginning of 2017. We have a new administration. Let's just go roundtable a little bit. You hosted a panel. I'm wondering what your takeaways were on the outlook.
Yeah, I think, you know, Trump is a double-edged sword for many people in business and specifically the tech industry because the stock market's gone up. There's a belief that there'll be a massive stimulus package, very much the one that Obama tried to pass, but the Republicans blocked. So now we're going to pass it under Trump's name, and that would put a massive amount of money into the economy. Now, the other major issue is something called repatriation of cash.
Right.
So what repatriation is there are companies like Apple, IBM, Cisco, Microsoft, Google that have made a ton of money overseas. They leave that money overseas so they don't have to pay double tax. They don't want to pay tax when they bring it in to the United States. So they just leave it over there in their foreign entities. And Obama couldn't figure out a way to negotiate a settlement with all these large companies to maybe give them a discount on the tax, maybe charge them 10%. And get them to bring it back here in the United States. The crazy thing that's happened is the EU and other places are now starting to look at that money and saying, hey, maybe we can get our hands on it and
exactly.
Do retroactive taxes. So the EU is trying to charge Apple billions of dollars in retroactive taxes from the last decade, which is pretty funny. So if we don't get that money back, other countries will. But if we get that money back here, it would burn a hole in the pockets of these tech companies who would either do dividends, which would be amazing.
Uh-huh.
People who own the shares would get money
right.
while owning the shares and they'd be able to spend it. Or the companies will start buying up stuff here in the U.S.
So right.
They'll be able to do more M&A. More M&A means more people who work at those companies become millionaires. They go spend the money, start companies, and it creates monetary velocity. So VCs and angels just think this is going to go up and to the right unless – we have chaos, and we've had a bit of chaos, right?
So yes.
We're sitting here, I think, the 2 days after Flynn resigned, mm-hmm. and it seems like there's complete chaos and a chance of impeachment or, you know, a chance of Trump not finishing or just chaos for a couple of years. So if the chaos doesn't create instability, then it should be up and to the right. And that's great for business, but I think people would rather – we not have it maybe go this far up and to the right and have a little bit more tranquility and domestic peace.
Right. You know, I've heard a lot about repatriation and that leading to buybacks that you mentioned, but I have not heard about the cascading effect of that because how is M&A looking coming into 2017?
We're going to have a lot of IPOs. We're going to have a lot of M&A. So what happens when companies go public is they have a currency. So when you're a private company, your shares are not liquid. You can't move them around and sell them every day, every hour, every minute. When you go public, you can. So if a company like Facebook goes public, they can go buy WhatsApp, Instagram, and Oculus because the people who own those companies and own the shares in those private companies can then say, oh, you can give me 1,000 Facebook shares for my 10,000 shares of Oculus? Great, let's do it. Now I can either keep those if I believe in Facebook or sell right. half of them, keep half of them. So you're going to have this massive amount of monetary velocity, just money sloshing around.
Okay.
People will sell their shares, sell their companies, and then buy apartments and hire nannies and go to private school and buy cars and go on vacations and buy second homes and what the, you know, rich people do. And this idea of trickle down may not be trickling down fast enough in our society, and we have some systemic problems around jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But trickle down does occur. I mean, you can't say that it doesn't.
I want to come back to the systemic problems in the labor market you mentioned.
Sure.
But I'd like to stay on the M&A thing for one more second, and
sure,
that's because Twitter always comes up as a
yeah.
perpetual, right? And so mm-hmm. if money is going to be sloshing around the valley again, does Twitter come up as an M&A opportunity?
Twitter is an enigma here because it's such an important communication platform. Obviously, the president of the United States is using it every day, multiple times a day, to discuss policy. His staff have to read what he's thinking on Twitter first. It's probably not the best way to run a country, but it's the way he's chosen. But they haven't been able to grow, even with the president of the United States
right.
acting absolutely maniacal, insane on Twitter, saying things that you know, are not even vetted. Even with that massive boost, Twitter can't grow. That's crazy. And they've lost half the management team. I mean, this is a really mismanaged company at
lost
this point.
Lost half its share price since IPO as well.
Yeah. And so it just lost a lot of, I mean, I think it peaked at 65 and it's trading at 15 now. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it had a pretty big run up and great expectations. But until they cut half the staff or a third of the staff, it's probably not going to sell. The cost structure is a little bit messed up. And I mean, I think there could be some hostility from shareholders. So you might have
right.
some activist shareholders buying it at some point and then saying, hey, listen, you got a half-time CEO who's lost half the management team and the company's not growing and.
Right,
and
right, right.
Then they kick out Jack and some activists do what they did with Yahoo, which is, you know, try to sell it for parts.
But couldn't Twitter lean on machine learning at this point for some of that labor to pick up?
Yeah, they're overstaffed. Their cost structure is crazy compared to how much money they make. So if you cut the staff and you make it look more attractive to a buyer, you know, I think there's a possibility that people would buy it, you know, a Google, a Microsoft.
Right.
There's people who would buy it if they had the intention of selling it for a reasonable price. So what I've heard from people who buy companies like this is mm-hmm. that if it dips down to the, you know, $8, $9, $10, $11 a share price, that it's probably gone. Like somebody will buy it. People will start getting activists on it. But the board wants to keep going. They want to keep giving Jack a chance. He's six quarters in and
yeah.
their fate has not changed. So at some
right.
point, people are going to go, this experiment's failed.
Yeah, I think you're right to peg it to a share price because, you know, Mark Benioff told CNBC that he was thinking about maybe possibly buying Twitter, and then Salesforce shares dropped 5% that day
yep.
before the closing bell. So Twitter's a little bit of a third rail, I think. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, it's an enigma. People can't figure it out. They know there's something there. They know it's important. I think the management has not significantly taken any risk on the product side, and they've taken a massive amount of costs on, and they seem obsessed with things like bullying and harassment on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at other platforms, Facebook, YouTube,
Twitch.
Yeah, everything, all platforms have a certain amount of trolling, abuse, et cetera, you know, just like the street does.
Right.
You know, like there's abuse occurs everywhere. And so they can't seem to, even though they've built more sophisticated tools than I think anybody, they can't seem to have a corporate way of saying, listen, we don't talk about individual cases, but we have resolved this. And, you know, if you want to talk to law enforcement, you can talk to law enforcement. Like Facebook keeps it very, very quiet. You don't see Zuckerberg
That's
stepping
right.
in and mixing up on an individual basis, because then you start getting into, you know, freedom of speech and private platforms, and it just becomes chaotic. So there's a whole movement to ban Trump on Twitter.
Yes, there is.
This is insane. Like,
well, he is. Okay, we were talking to Sarah Lacey last week, and he's in violation of the terms, clearly, by having two accounts.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's the president of the United States. It doesn't matter. Like, there's a bit of screaming hysteria right now around Trump that is not helpful. If you are anti-Trump, the best thing to do is let him tweet, just on a strategic basis,
well,
on a pragmatic
agree.
Basis. If
that.
He just tweets, he's going to tweet himself out of office. At some point, he'll say something so insane. And right now, his Russia tweets might actually wind up being the smoking gun.
That is Jason Calacanis, angel investor and Silicon Valley staple. Jason rarely rests. So you can check out his weekly webcasts or podcasts at thisweekinstartups.com. There's a link to that and some other angel investing resources at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Coming up after the break, we have part two of our chat with Jason, where we venture into an area that is getting more and more headlines. The idea that automation is going to put humans out of work, and the idea that a universal basic income for every American is a good idea, or maybe a bad idea. High-profile investor Mark Cuban thinks a basic income is a terrible idea. Our guest, Jason Calacanis, thinks it's largely a good idea.
Everybody's believed that when new technology comes out, steam engine, aircrafts, machines, we would be able to create more jobs. And there's a group of people who believe now with artificial intelligence, self-driving cars, robotics, and all these great innovations we have that will save lives and reduce manual labor amongst human beings, this will be good for humanity and other jobs will be created. But there's beginning to feel like people are scared that this is the time that the jobs actually don't get created.
That's coming up next, so we hope you'll stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.